Welcome back to Bonded by Bravo. I am your host, Amy, joined by my co-host, Jenna. And this is where I'm at this week. This is my voice. The reason our pod is late this week is because I sound like this and I have bronchitis. And this is the best that it's actually sounded since Friday. Yeah, Saturday was disgusting. Apologies, friends. This is where we're at. We're trying.
When you texted on Saturday, said you went to urgent care with bronchitis, I was just like, what are we just giving her every ailment under the sun right now? Like, this seems so unfair.
She said the urgent care lady, because I wasn't going to go. Meek's like, you have to go. This has been 5 days. And it wasn't like, you know how you're like, okay, day three, I'll feel better. It was getting progressively worse. And she's like, well, since you're here, we're going to take a chest x-ray just to rule out pneumonia. And I'm like, oh my God, do I freaking pneumonia? Like, oh my God. And I didn't think that I didn't have pneumonia. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if they said that. I feel like trash. And apparently this is the respiratory infection that's been going around that everybody has. And the cough lingers for weeks.
I don't want to, like, rub it in. I should knock on wood. But, like, I kind of don't really get, like, sick. I get, sinus infection every year. Like twice a year, but always in November. Every November, we get a nice, gnarly 10-day sinus infection. And I got to tell you, ever since people have told me about, like, COVID and all the other things that they get, as I'm, like, my nose is raw and I'm so frustrated, I still feel – I'm, like, as I'm blowing, I'm, like, this is still better than the alternative. Like, I feel almost lucky every time it's just a sinus infection.
I feel like I usually don't – I don't know. That's not true. The last year, I feel like I've gotten everything under the sun, including cancer. Yeah. Including fucking cancer. Yes. Fuck this shit.
All right. Let's not hurt yourself.
Oh, my God. oh, God.
Bronchitis and cancer in the same year. That feels –
God, can you give me a break? I'm kidding. I'm so happy.
I was telling my friend recently, he had a migraine at work, because I was like, wow, you're so quiet tonight. I was like, oh, I have a friend that's had a headache for almost 5 years, or almost 6 years now.
And almost seven.
And he, like, so quick was like, has she had enough water? I just started dying. I was like, you're fucking with me, right? He's like, yeah, because if someone tells me that one more time. I was like, I would ask her, have you tried yoga?
Yoga?
Yoga.
Love
yoga. Have you meditated your migraine away?
I just.
Little green juice.
I've tried. You know, I know I talked about this, but I did just finish my green juice. Oh my I didn't even tell you this. So before this, I had a doctor's call. Separately about all of my other health issues. I'm sure all of our followers are so into this. And it came up that I could have the antibodies for gluten sensitivity for celiac. Huh. So now I have to try the celiac and diet for 4 to 6 weeks, no gluten. She's like, try it after the new year. I'm like, okay.
At this point, doesn't that kind of stuff get you, like, I feel like you're so used to cutting shit
out.
Oh, I
could do it. I don't care.
Point. Yeah.
It's nothing.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't matter. It'll take
some
easy
peasy. Green juice.
Yeah.
Did we discuss Erewhon?
I think we did. We talked about it being like a whole. Yeah, we did.
Okay.
And you paid $27 for your smoothie.
Yes. And did you see the Balenciaga campaign with Erewhon
and so Kim carrying that as her purse with flowers in it? Like, what
is that? But what I did, I don't know if I mentioned it, but it got me thinking when I saw the post. Wow, we're really tangenting right now, but anyway,
it's okay. It's our best work.
Yeah, we'll get to the good stuff here in a minute. But there was, so when we pull into the parking lot at Erewhon, it said, I can't remember if I said this last week, it was an option for self-parking. And we looked at each other and we're like, self-parking versus what? Like, we're at a grocery store. What's the other option? Like, everyone just parks themselves at the grocery store, right?
Oh, my God, I can't wait.
There's valet.
Valet? No. That is the most LA shit I've ever heard.
Wait, did we tell you about this? I don't know if I brought up the Silver Lake thing too, which was really funny. And if anyone's listening in LA, you can laugh at us. It's fine. We just, you know, I've seen the aerial shots of LA in the beginning of a Kardashians episode or Vanderpump Rules. And I'm like, look at this pretty lake. And so, like, we were in Silver Lake. So I just thought it was Silver Lake. And so we drove to Silver Lake. So I'm quoting that. We drive up and it's like this fenced in really ugly reservoir. So we literally just pulled over. We were like, let's reroute. And we were like, so we like look at a map and she's like, I think we got to go to Echo Park and it's a different lake. And I was like, okay. And so we go to that one, and that one is the one that they were showing. But I'll tell you what, the aerial shots make it look way more blue. The palm trees way more green than it like actually is. I was like, is this it?
I don't know anything about a lake. I know Silver Lake, the neighborhood, but I didn't know that there was a lake involved.
Well, I just figured really it's stupid? Silver Lake, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And no, I saw a body of water nearby and I was like, that must be it. But it
and
was
it's a reservoir.
Chained in reservoir.
I like that.
Yeah, you were cracking up. It was so funny.
I need an LA visit. I don't know when I'm going to get there. I told Corey, our friend, that I was going to be there in January, and I might have to push it out now.
Yeah.
Because I have too many things on the cards. So in Amy's celeb sightings this week, I actually have another one that I have to tell you about.
I just saw this on the outline.
Yeah. So yesterday I went – or no, after the urgent care visit and bronchitis diagnosis, I wanted to go get a bagel. And I walked into the bagel place across the street, and who do I see but the fat Jewish? Do people still care about him?
I don't know, but he's funny.
He's huge, like tall, huge. He's like 6'5". He just felt so tall.
6'5"? I thought he would be like 6 foot.
No. Fat. Okay, maybe he was 6 foot. Bigger. I'm really short. I don't know. He just seemed very like not big. Width wise, like big tall wise. So I saw him, and then I was at PT for my other ailment last Wednesday for my sprained ankle tissue. And
about the ankle. I didn't even bring that up with the cancer and the bronchitis. I got lost.
The boot is off. Oh my God. I sound like such a loser.
You're a mess.
Okay. So the boot's off, but I'm in PT and I'm sitting there waiting for my physical therapist. And I look out the door and it's in a building, like it's in an office building that has like other doctor's office on the floor. And who walks by our office but none other than Martha Stewart?
That's a major celeb sighting.
I know. And I look at my PT as she comes to get me to go do PT. And I was like, Martha Stewart just walked by. And she's like, no. And I said, yes, she just walked by. And she said, are you sure? And I didn't know how to tell her like, hey, I know.
Yeah.
I know. I'm not the one that doesn't know. Like, I know. I have a podcast where I have a celebrity sighting clip. And this is what I do. These are the things I'm good at.
Yeah. And then, pop culture is our bread. It's not our bread and butter yet.
It's not our bread and butter, but it's our forte.
It's a hobby.
Yeah. And I didn't know how to tell her that, but I told her. And then the girl at the front desk was like, yeah, her chiropractor's across the hall. And then so we waited for her to come out. And then the other front desk girl ran out to go get her dinner at the same time and to get herself dinner. And she was like, oh my God, Martha complimented my outfit.
Oh my God, how cute. Did she look as like glowing as she does?
Like with the most beautifully blown dry, what do they call it? A blowout. Like her hair just looks.
Blowout is, to be honest.
Well, you should, Eden, hook our girl up with a fucking blowout.
Isn't it just blow drying your hair?
Yeah, but like with layers and like fluff. Did you ever do that? You should do that, Jen.
No. Have I ever?
Could you try? Like, it probably would look great.
I don't even own a blow dryer.
You're disgusting. I can't.
I literally haven't had a blow dryer since I lived with my mom.
Oh my God. When you get your hair cut, do you not get it blow dried?
Sometimes she's always like, can we blow dry it? And I'm like,
yeah, she's probably begging to blow dry your hair.
I typically say, sure. Or I'm like, I'm just going to work. I'm
like, you would look so good with a blow dry and some volume. And
speaking
anyway, of Martha Stewart's hair looked amazing.
Speaking of hair though, so normally like when I'm bartending, especially, so I had to work SantaCon this past Saturday, which was
no. Wait, how have you not texted me about this? Oh, because no.
I think I was trying to. The nice thing is that we had so many different rules that day that made our jobs so much easier. Plastic only, $20 minimums. Also, this is a PSA. Stop opening and closing your tabs. If you're gonna hang out, open your tab. Most places now swipe the card, give it right back. Put that card in your pocket. I don't need to see it for the rest of the night. Just the first and last name, we can add to it or shut it down. Stop opening and closing your tabs 800 times. If you were just getting one beer and you're gonna close it out, I'm about to start being like, then this is it for the rest of the night. Because if I see you come back up and do this for one more beer, I'm going to lose it. It's like become my biggest pet peeve. And I notice it within the early, if you're in your 20s.
Younger crowds.
Yes. Stop opening and closing your tabs. As soon as someone keeps it open, actually, I did it the other night. I was like, can I ask you how old you are? And he was like 30. And I was like, I knew it because he opened it right away. And I was
Because they have more than $20 in their account. And the other ones are like, oh my God.
Grab cash out and keep that as your budget for the night. Like,
well, look,
bring out, you know, $50 and then that's all you got.
Remember, that's what I used to do.
Yeah. So anyway,
I still forget that I have to open a tab at bars.
But back to the hair part of this. So anyway, I go into the kitchen where it's like a little brighter. And my coworker, I see him do like a double take. And I was like, what? And he's like, I was like, my hair. And he was like, yeah, I guess I didn't know how gray it was. I was like, yes, I am also in the know about how gray my hair. He's like, no, I think it looks good. I just never noticed it. And I was like,
but you like it.
Yeah, I do. But it's just funny seeing people's reaction to like how gray it really has gotten. And it just cracks me up. Like they almost think that I don't know or something.
Does that run in the family to have, like, is that a thing? I think this was going to be the first year that I dyed my hair and I don't know how to do this. Like, do I have to go and get it done? Do I have to go to somewhere every year? Because I have this big chunk right on the right side of my head and they can get like, the curls can sometimes get like, they can look hard to find because of the curls. So like I've been able to pull it off for a while. So I don't know like the hair dye protocol. Like, do you have to do it all the time? Is this going to be a thing? I don't want it to be a thing.
I feel like it's definitely, I think once you start it, it definitely becomes a thing, which has been a little bit of my hesitation.
Yeah,
and then
for
also
sure.
Mine, I'm like kind of lucky in that it's like, it ends up being like more streaks as opposed, it's like not, I guess because I don't dye my hair a lot, it's not just like, you know, graying at the root, which like that would be a different story. Like mine's like through it. Like it's.
So it looks like a highlight.
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
Yeah. Well, anyway, let's get into some pop culture.
But why? This was such good conversational.
I had a
full-blown coughing fit in the middle of that. Did you see that happening? I was muting myself.
No,
full
I didn't.
Blown. Oh, good. Okay, good. I had to keep muting. Oh, good. Great. I did it the right way.
Okay.
Yeah, let's chat.
Before we get into Bravo stuff, let's chat about Taylor's Time of the Year interview. So this was her first interview, I think they said in like 5 years, like long, any interview. I think it was something like that in years. It's been a very long time. And she kind of touched on things that I think we've been speculating about, definitely things I thought, like about like, she definitely went into hiding after that whole Kanye Kim thing happened and, like, moved to a different country and, like, wasn't – I remember that year she was not seen by one paparazzi for an entire year.
What do you think? What do you
that's so depressing. I'm sorry. I don't care who you are. I don't care how much money you have. To have to be in some level of hiding – that has to be so anxiety, like, producing that, like, if you accept, and then by not going out, then you're, like, making your first sighting more, like, groundbreaking, so to speak. So then, like, everyone's going to be talking about it. I don't even remember her first, like, resurgence.
Right.
But I'm sure it was a story.
What do you think about what she said about that and Kim's responsibility and all of that, and whether or not Kim makes a statement, and Kim, like, there's I'm of two minds, but I'm curious as what your thought is.
I really hope, as someone who, like, tends to really like both of them,
exactly, that's why I want to hear your
thoughts. I would love to see Kim speak out in a way that, like, kind of validates Taylor's feelings in the whole thing. And, like, I also think at the time, if you look at the timeline, like, Kim was in fight or flight at that moment with Kanye. I think that was in the last 2 years probably of their marriage. I don't even know if they were, like, living together at that point. This is around the time that there was just a lot going on with Kanye at the time, and I think she was fighting for her marriage. I do think what they're saying is, like, that call happened, but that the whole call was not put out. And so there's clearly a piece missing.
Well, I think the biggest part is any viewer who even saw if it was edited or not, the biggest thing that you see is the line that Kanye does not say and asks her, I made that bitch famous.
Yes.
Like, that's what he doesn't say in that. Yes. No matter how you phrase it, no matter how you look at the thing, he doesn't ask her in the clip to say, I made that bitch famous.
Yes. And I think it also happened to come at a time where, and I think Jennifer Lawrence has talked about this, when people are seeing too much of you, then people are looking, like, when something bad happens, the world grabs onto it really hard. And, like, Jennifer Lawrence felt, she was like, I'm getting sick of myself, so I'm taking a break from acting. And that's sort of how her break from acting started. Is because she's like, I don't want to.
You know who I want to do that? Huh? Margot Robbie. I think it's your time to take a break. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, interesting. it's a hot take. But
I've said it before.
I think it would just be so good. God, it would be so great for just, like, women in general, women in the industry, for Kim to come out and be like, you know what? I was in fight or flight. I was fighting for my marriage. I was fighting for my husband at the time. I should have maybe either A, stayed out of it, or I apologize for invalidating Taylor's feelings. Like, and, like, oh my God. And then they do a Skims campaign together. Wow. That was,
oh my God.
Like, the internet would broken.
See, and this is where Kim, but I don't know if Taylor could move Taylor forward from what she, the way she talked about it and how the place where she was in that time, like, can you give someone that and then do a Skims campaign and give somebody else more revenue from, like, the darkest time in your life? Like, we were just talking about a situation, you know, between us and a friend and me and a friend, and, you know, something that's, like, really hurt me, and could I move forward so quickly with someone that's hurt me? I don't know.
No, I don't. The Skims campaign is
an apology, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
The Skims campaign is I would say an impossibility, but you never know. But I don't think they should do anything that either of them can profit from. I don't think that's how they will, like, really move forward. But I do think Taylor, if Kim, like, apologized, Taylor would be like, that's fine. And you know what? They're having a lot of intersection. Like, Zoe Kravitz and Channing Tatum, who are good friends with Taylor, did that Skims campaign. Mahomes and Brittany did that Skims campaign. Kansas City Chiefs. Like,
no, I cannot stand things. That girl. I cannot.
And then on top of that, there's like, you know, the whole Gigi is good friends with Taylor, but also friends with Kendall. And I think they could just sort of all be at the same, like, if they were spotted at the same party together, let's say, like, that could be such a moment. And also, it would kind of be like a big fuck you to Kanye.
Right. I really,
and guess what? Kanye did not make that bitch famous. Taylor made that bitch famous.
But that's Kanye's narcissistic ways of thinking that. I mean, come on. But which is one of the reasons Kim left him. So, you know.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting to hear what she talked about Travis, about how she doesn't want to be in hiding anymore. I loved hearing from her. Like, we talked about wanting to hear from her on Armchair, and it was because we want to hear from her more than just what she's talking to her guests about and kind of opening up. And that's – I felt like we got some of that here. Yeah, I loved hearing what she talked about. And so basically – oh, my God, excuse me. Basically, everything we thought – the timeline is different than what we thought, or the timeline is what it was after. It's sometime in the summer they started dating.
Jamal did post that this had been starting since, that this started basically right after he put her on blast on the podcast, which was in July.
Yeah.
And then immediately after that, I think they had their first few dates, and then we saw them first spot. It went September.
Yep.
Late September.
End of September, yep.
Yeah. So, at least...
I loved how she said, if this was our first date and it would have been, like, debuting ourselves at a Chiefs game, like, how psycho would we have been? I loved that she said that. When my sister-in-law...
She clarified that she doesn't know where the cameras are. She just knows that they're there. Yeah. So that she's like, I don't know how many times they're showing me. I know people are pissed off, but like, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
When my sister, the Brads. Sorry for pissing off a few Chads, Brads, and Dads or something like that.
Yeah. When my sister-in-law was here, she made my husband take her to her apartment to walk by, and they walked by.
Where's her apartment? Just so I know.
Tribeca.
Okay.
Yeah.
Up and coming,
I'll get you
baby.
The address. Up and coming Tribeca.
Yeah.
The up and coming neighborhood of Tribeca.
Yeah.
It was so funny. They interviewed Jessel to do the abbreviations for the neighborhoods in New York, and it was so disastrous.
Can I ask you something about that? Yeah. As someone who lives in New York.
Oh God.
And she moved there for the show and is the one that's like being asked to talk about the neighborhoods, is that like a little annoying?
That, what do you mean? So,
like that she's different. Like becoming the face of like,
no, I don't know. They were testing her, like basically like if you don't know these neighborhoods, but she screwed up big time because she said Soho and she said south of Houston. It's south of Houston. No one calls Houston, Houston. It's spelled like Houston, but it's Houston Street.
Okay, this is good to know because I definitely would have said Houston.
Oh my, no, that's like.
Isn't it funny how like things like.
Right, like I would never.
San Fran.
You told me you cannot call it San Fran. If you live here, you call it SF.
Yeah.
Like, okay, never to be called San Fran again.
Yeah, but it's like little things that like stick. Like now I won't be caught dead saying Houston.
Oh no, that's, it's just. But she's lived here for over a year. I'm mortified for her that she said that on a public platform.
Before there, right?
Right. I can't even believe that she would say Houston. It's insane to me. But it's okay. We still love her. The other thing is Tribeca is short for something. Triangle Below Canal, which a lot of people don't know.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. So.
Interesting. Oh, I like
there's a lot of them. I know. Soho, Nomad, like they're
I saw your I started cracking up. I showed it to Kyle. I think I showed it to Kyle. I saw your post the other day about like people like like romanticizing New York in the wintertime or whatever. And like New Yorkers kind of being like fuck this. But we That's literally disgusting. Were like choosing we were like scrolling through movies on TV or on like whatever to watch, and we were both just like, basically all we were looking for is like New York in the background, and that's mm-hmm. when we clicked the trailer. We were like, all right, let's do this.
Yeah.
I just love New York as a character in, because New York, I feel like more than anywhere else, plays a role in the movie.
But I do the same even when I'm looking, and I live here. Like like even a TV show, like I want New York as the background.
Totally.
I don't know why. And I even did like I went to the Plaza a few weeks ago and I was doing that, but it was before Thanksgiving and people weren't here yet and it was easy peasy. But if you would never catch me on Fifth Avenue after Thanksgiving, no, thank you.
You're going to be around next holiday season.
Yes.
I think Kyle and I want to, I think the plan is to spend Christmas in New York.
Okay.
Because it's cute.
Oh my God, you'll hate yourself, but okay. There's nothing about it that you would love, but I will deal with that next Christmas.
Okay.
I just like could not imagine you trying to force your way up to the Rockefeller tree through stampedes of people, or down Fifth Avenue trying to
the tree,
or like in Macy's. And
we're going to Philly in February, and he's like, do you think we'll like get a snow day? And then he started asking me questions about a snow day. He's like, so like, what does it like mean? And I was like, it was so cute. And he's like, well, what happens if you don't have snow stuff? And I was like, well, especially as kids, like everyone has like snow pants. He's like, everyone just has snow pants?
What are snow pants?
And I was like,
you just had them.
You just had them. He's like more than one? I'm like, oh my God.
I think I only have one.
I was cracking up. I was like, oh my God, you're like a little kid.
Oh, I love that for him, though.
Really hoping. And I wouldn't be mad at it if when we're in Philly in February, like.
They say that it's going to be a rough winter because of the El Nino or El Nina or whatever. So you never know. The one year.
Wow, we're really on tangents.
Yeah, we are. Okay. And we're going to send me your. And you have to send me your dates that you're coming. In Feb, because I'm supposed to be going somewhere. Okay, what the hell are you talking about? Taylor?
I see. Oh, Taylor. We talked about that.
Okay, what else did I put in
there? Nina and Benny Blanco. That's exciting.
I love that for her. I mean, I love for her that she's excited and in love, because I just really like her a lot. I don't know if you saw, but, you know, I'm really on this Puff P. Diddy.
Stupid statement.
His stupid statement. A fourth person came forward, and 18 brands dropped from.
Yeah, I saw that.
What was it? It wasn't. It's from his his e-commerce site. They stopped doing business with his e-commerce site. I still think there's gonna be more people coming forward, and I'm like, people are calling him the next R. Kelly. So it's allegedly.
I don't know if funny is the word, but when I see photos of him now, all I see is like, I'm like, damn, like he does kind of like his eyes are like, I'm like, oh, he's a monster.
That's the vibes I'm getting. Like,
yeah.
From like, you just feel like there is so much more to come.
Yeah.
I have so many questions around Kim Porter. So many questions, but
I'm sure there's a lot of TikTok holes you could go.
I've been about that. There's been a lot, but well, let's get into what else did we have pop culture wise. Oh yeah,
there
okay
were
cool
a few things, but I mean I guess we don't have to talk about it, but that yearbook podcast
that.
Under Armchair Umbrella, if you're not, I know you guys have heard us talk about Armchair Expert, that's our favorite podcast. They're doing one called Yearbook, and it comes out every Friday. It's sort of like, they describe it as like a serial meets like Friday Night Lights, which actually, as a result, I just started Friday Night Lights.
What? You've never watched before?
Uh-uh.
Oh.
Which is like
Jen.
Kind of crazy, because that's like really up my alley.
It
like a teen drama? Sign me up.
So I rewatched in Costa Rica. It is so up your alley.
Yeah. And it's the same guy, I think one of the producers on it or writers is the same guy that did Parenthood.
Yeah.
I love Parenthood. Really, really love that show.
You
it's
have to keep me updated on that.
I loved Dax acting it. I loved Dax on the podcast. Not my favorite actor by any means. And usually I don't like the stuff he's in. But in Parenthood, I really liked him.
Same. That's how I got to know him. I like fell personally in love with him and thought like, I'll marry him. But you have to keep me up to date on all of your thoughts on that. Yeah. Okay, but anyway, go ahead. Back to that yearbook podcast.
Yeah, so this podcast, it's really good. It's just interesting. It definitely has like made me think about like the year that sort of, it's like kind of about the year where you, what, how would you say, like find yourself or like kind of just start discovering who you are.
Yeah. Or that defined you. Yeah. Not on purpose. Like something
happens.
Yeah. And it like kind of sets you into motion of becoming adult, I guess.
What comes to mind for you? Because they're young when they're saying it. And I don't think mine's young. Like, I think it's going to sound dramatic, but my knee injury my senior year of college, I don't want to say like fucked me up, but it like kind of like pulled the rug out from underneath me in a way that like made me like open my eyes to so many other things. And like it kind of changed. My group of friends changed. So many things in my life changed. Like, there was, like, before the knee injury, and then there's after the knee injury for me.
Yeah. I know that you, like, we've talked about that, too. And, like, so much that was going on, and you kind of were, like, forced to not move, like, stop.
Yeah. For so long. Like, I fucked up my knee.
Yeah. I don't know, because I think there were so many things that happened in my life younger. And if I have to think about like a pivotal moment into adulthood where like there wasn't something traumatic that happened to me, but there were moments where like there's a few moments where I feel like my life turned. Mm-hmm. And I think some of the first turn would be, there were some things going on in my house, with my family, and my brother had some diagnoses, and I think that turned was like my first big turn. Mm-hmm. And I was much younger, but I felt like that was the first time I felt like, okay, like I'm out, like I have to figure it out on my own.
Yeah.
And then the first time I realized life could be different than what I was doing was when I studied abroad, which seems silly because it's like, oh, this like great privileged moment of yours. But I don't think if I didn't do that, I think my life would have ended up 100% different if I never had that opportunity.
Interesting. I believe that though, for sure. I mean, that's kind of the point of study abroad, right?
Yeah. And like, in the trajectory that I was going, like, you know, we're from Philly and there's like a certain life that you're told to live or expected to live. And it's kind of like laid out for you. And
it sometimes feels, and this is, I don't want to like shade Philly. We obviously love Philly, but sometimes it felt like dreaming big was crazy.
And it's fair that it was crazy because our parents and our parents' parents, they just needed to get by and they needed to make sure that we were taken care of, that they were taken care of. So having a dream or dreaming big, it was just not on the cards, just like, here's your plan, follow the plan and you'll be okay. And that's the path that we knew. So that's all it was. It's like, you just follow that path. And I never thought that that path was for me. And so the first time I ever took a different path was, I'd say, when I was able to study abroad. And the way that it all happened was very like serendipitous, and I wrote a whole like short story about it and stuff, just because like it wasn't supposed to happen. And I even think, like, if I really think back to it, like it led me even to like finding my husband, you know.
Totally. Oh, 100%. When you study abroad, I was like 100% that's how Meek got into this.
Yeah. But this has nothing to do with Bravo.
Yeah. Okay.
So, what the hell are we talking about?
All right. Let's just get into. We don't have a lot to say here. But
yeah. What are we talking about?
Southern Charm and Southern Hospitality, the two that I definitely want to touch on. Oh. Real quick. I don't know if we even need to say it again. Danielle, pump the brakes in Winter House.
We love you. We want to say we love you.
The conversation she had with Jordan was really weird.
It was so odd. I mean, weird is like an understatement. Like, you were insulting her.
No.
And then saying that you were her friend and like insinuating that she could only have fun if a man was involved.
I mean, maybe they did, but it would have been nice. I think definitely not when she was drinking. I do think Amanda was doing a great job of sort of I think she's seen Danielle drunk before. She spent summers with her, knew sort of how to navigate it. I'm hoping that maybe during the day, sober, if her and Kyle could just pull Danielle aside and be like, we love you, but you look thirsty. Maybe drinking is not thirsty. It. Can we pop an edible every day, maybe? Like, let's take a little microdose of mushrooms. The drinking is not working with this post-breakup and then in a house with under surveillance. That combination is not going well for you.
The thirsty is, like, such an understatement to me.
It's so desperate.
But it's also like, I remember being that desperate after a long-term breakup. And you're like, ugh, and you want to take it all back. And hopefully now she's just trucking. It's so unfortunate.
Yeah.
It's just so unfortunate. It's on TV for everyone to see. But we love you. That's why I just want to keep saying it's coming from
love.
Yeah,
that's all we want to say about that. Let's get into Summer House, Southern Charm. Okay.
Oh, wait. I thought we wanted to talk about Southern Hospitality. Did you say that or no?
Yeah, both. We'll do both.
Oh, okay.
So I am so done with this summer.
Bored.
They must have truly not had anything else to... Like, they're nothing. Like, Greg's, like, in a normal relationship. This sucks. Madison is in a healthy relationship. This sucks. Austin is working on himself and in therapy. And they're still using him, obviously. But it's just...
This is legit.
Nothing else? We got
only storyline. And
not
I am...
like a side storyline happening.
No. What is it? Madison trying to get pregnant? But Austin
like,
going to
like,
therapy.
Not even really a storyline. It's been mentioned twice.
I'm so bored, and I can't believe this is another. Like, I get that Taylor is upset that now it's coming out on, or Olivia's upset that now that it's coming out on TMZ while she's at. Well, I get that she's upset because she's around all these people, and she thinks that Austin and Taylor are lying to her, and that they actually hooked up. Because, like, what adults actually stop at making out? Fair.
I actually don't think they hooked up, but that's a whole other thing.
You don't?
I don't know why. There's just something about for some reason, and I know Austin has not showed us reason to believe this, but I do think he would have stopped short of having sex, and I think they both together would have come to that, and I'm not saying it didn't almost go there, but I kind of just believe them. Which
I don't know
so
if I do or not. I don't know
but
if I do. I feel like it could
go
like either.
If it was like almost anyone else, I wouldn't believe it. But for whatever reason, I...
Who do you
like,
think?
Like, I almost think that Austin, as like terrible as he can be with women, I sort of think he knew how much she was hurting and like had it in him to be like, oh, I think I would be taking advantage or something.
I do not know about that.
Okay, it's your face. Either way, over it. I'm so over it.
I am over it too. I want to know, who do you think the leak to Page Six is?
I don't know.
I think
Rod.
Oh, I want more of Rod on Rodrigo. I want more.
No, I don't think that one.
I think Leva or Madison, to be honest.
Or Leva. I don't know, but getting so upset about the Page Six thing, like you guys are on reality TV, just so they know, and it was obviously gonna come out, like, in Page Six at some point. Like, it could have been a producer even, because that obviously helps the show, and, you know, people get interested in watching the upcoming season. Like, that's how they got us here, you know what I mean? So, like, I think it's just super naive to think that that wasn't going to come out. And Austin said, like, there was no new information.
Well, I think they said hooked up in the article.
But they have
so Olivia
all season.
I wonder if Olivia thinks that hooked up means hooked up.
But the way that she's
again,
taking,
I agree. I don't know why
Bible is bizarre. Like
because
she's like,
it's really just one of them that called it in. It's not like it's like.
And she's saying, like, well, page six says that they hooked up, and it's like, page six? Page six said it?
Page like, six is oh one God. Of your friends. One of your friends is page six's source. What are we talking about?
I know. It's weird. The whole thing feels just so, I don't know. I'm like, guys.
And then Shep
you
at that dinner table. Yeah, I'm ready to be done with it. And then Shep again at the dinner table. Craig leaving with the line, like, I don't cheat on my girlfriend. That's why. I don't know why he keeps talking to Craig about like having a perfect relationship and maybe there's cracks in the relationship. Like, okay, what are you talking about? And then saying, did he try to imply that Paige is a cheater again?
Craig, yeah.
Shep, we will come for you. Yeah. She ain't the one.
No.
She ain't the one.
And she's not taking anything he says with a grain of salt. Though.
Just like no one else is. Yeah. No one else cares.
Like shit.
Disgusting.
Can we talk about this? Like his face, I need him to stop drinking and get super hydrated.
Super, super hydrated. Right into the veins. Let's get some IVs going.
He looks so
if he got sober for like 90 days, glow up.
Yeah. He looks
should try it.
He looks like he needs water, some liquid.
Let's move on. I could move on from this dumbass storyline.
All right, Southern Hospitality. I like it. I know you weren't into it last
week. Wasn't.
Yeah.
And now I feel really into it. I feel like they have the special sauce that we've been talking about.
Oh.
Because all of you're watching, you know why I'm into it? Because we've been watching all these other shows with these like played out characters and these storyline. They've been around for years. Right. Like these fresh young faces that are causing all this chaos. They're yelling at their managers, getting fired on day one. This one's cheating. That one's doing this. Like, let's talk.
That
like,
dude's from Philly too. The one that's cheating, Trevor. Yeah. So he kind of has like a Philly fade. You can see it.
My favorite. Never hooked up with the guy who did it.
I do really love the show. I think I was like, maybe I like it because I'm still very much in that industry, so it just like obviously like resonates. The no drinking rule. Okay.
Oh, this is what I want to talk about.
Okay, so I see like sort of both sides. I don't personally tend to drink on shift. It's sort of like one of the boundaries I've set up for myself. But that's like a personal thing for me. But I also see the like, you can make more money if you take that shot with the person across the bar. Like it's just more, you just can. Like you could just make more money. I don't know how else to like.
It's so funny because all I kept thinking while I was there or when I was watching is I have never drank on a shift, which is insane to think.
Yeah.
Because of how many shifts have I been hungover as hell and still from the last night? Yes. But I've never actually drank on a shift or even – I mean, maybe I did a shot. But
I think like for their atmosphere and for what they've already sort of established themselves to be, it's like a little – I think the no drinking mixed with this new manager from like a hotel group in Vegas is going to be so bad for morale. Like that's just, it's just like never really the move to bring an outsider out in.
If you're bringing an outsider in, then you need to bring in all new people because otherwise no one's going to.
Yes. I mean, I just went through this. Like, in a way. Like, it just, and we had said the whole time as this like, you know, kind of corporate takeover was happening. We kept saying to each other, why do they want to keep us? Like, it's not good business because you're kind of trying to mix old policies with new ones and then expect no resistance. Like, it's
because all the old staff are going to have issues with it. And they tried to do that. I can't remember if you were there or not. when at the restaurant we used to work at, they tried to have a consultant come in. I don't know if you remember that. Uh-uh. I think it was after you left, the summer after you left, they had a consultant try to come in. It lasted for like 3 weeks and then he started drinking with us. And I was like, frick out of here.
No way.
Yeah. And we just were like, this is a joke. It was, the idea was really funny, but no.
I think having like a limit, like, so like.
It's impossible though. It's impossible.
I don't know. I mean, if you allow them, hey, you have, look, you have a $50 comp tab for your shift or whatever, 40 or 50 bucks for your comp tab, and then you have two shift drinks and you have to put them in. It does, every bar I've worked at that does that, everyone seems to stay with it. And I think it's like 50 bucks is you use it how you want to use it.
Yeah, but the comp tab's for the customer. And yes, then you expect people.
And then you expect, like, I could still use it on myself. If I don't, if I go through my shift drinks and I.
So then you're spending $50 to get, then you're drunk on shift.
I mean, it's not my move.
But as a manager, when you were managing people, is that what you would have wanted for people?
I let them, I trusted them and it worked because they. Yeah.
And I think of these folks have shown to not be that trustworthy.
Yeah. And I got to say too, like San Francisco takes this industry a little, I don't know if it's more serious or it feels more career, like I know more career industry people here than I think I know anywhere else. I bet LA, I bet New York has some of that as well.
The other thing is like when they were like, this made me laugh so hard. Charleston has a big, big nightlife district. I was like, do you? Or is there like a street with like three bars on there? I was like, how big is this? Because every time I've seen that bar, I'm sorry, but it is never look full. It never looks full.
I've only been there once and I don't think I knew about it. I was there before the show came out, so I didn't know about that spot, but. And when I was there, I didn't look up any of the Southern Charm spots. I kind of wonder why. We were there so quick.
Yeah.
We were like in and out. We were just like driving up.
Should do a trip. We should do a research trip and go get bottle service at Republic. Could you imagine getting bottle service?
Never had a day in my life. But
me neither. Not for me.
The one server or whatever, Mia, yelling at Leva. Not cool. Like,
would have been
absolutely.
Like,
I've seen it. People who feel that kind of entitlement at work. Or, I mean, it doesn't even have to be in this industry. I've heard the way people sometimes, like, I have a friend that she was in, I think, like tech, but the way that she would talk about and to her manager, I'm like, is this a California thing? Because, like, I would never.
And ever if she didn't admit
my higher up, ever. No.
And even if she didn't fire her for drinking on the job, she should have fired her for the way she was talking to her that night. End of story.
100%.
Yeah. That was obnoxious.
It's like, was so entitled. It was unbelievable.
I didn't like that was.
And TJ's right. Like he says, like some of these people, it can almost feel insulting to someone who's like myself, who's made this industry is sort of like a profession, and like I get that for a lot of people it's not, but when you're acting like that, it's kind of like insulting to the people that have made it. It almost feels like you're looking down upon us, like I don't need this, like I can do whatever I want here, this job is a joke. And it's like, it might be a joke to you, but like there are other people around here that it's not a joke for. This is a career that they've chosen because they love this industry.
And that's honestly, immediately that what you
to be here.
And that's immediately what she said. She's like, I don't need this job up. Okay, then don't be there then. You just wanted to sit there and say that? She irked me. See
she
ya.
Was terrible.
Bye.
Yeah, bye.
See you later. I think it's going to be a juicy season, though. As you could see with the end, how like they're like, they can come in, but they can't. You can come in, but they can't. And then all the shades are up. They must have told her to like pull the shades up and turn the lights on in order for and keep her mic on. For her to film so that they could film through the that was the shadiest thing I've ever seen. I think this is going to be the show that brings the drama.
Yeah, for sure. It's obviously given like old VPR.
For sure.
The Lucia, the girl that got fired, showing up. I just, have you showed up to a job that you've been fired from?
This brought back so many hysterical memories for me. And I'll talk on two. There was this cafe around the corner from my house that I got fired from. And it took me like 3 years before I went in there. And it was only because it was the only good brunch spot in my neighborhood. And by then I'd hoped they'd forgotten. And then
we became good friends.
Yeah. And then we became good friends. And there was one time in the job that we worked at that I got suspended. Like I could work, but you know how we all hung out at the job?
Yeah.
So I wasn't allowed to drink at our bar for 30 days. Our general manager would not let me. And I was so upset and I would beg him every day. And for 30 days, he wouldn't let me drink at the bar. And then on the 30th day, I just like went ham and got all drunk at the bar because I wasn't allowed for 30 days. And in that time, 30 days was like...
Yeah.
Like I would come in on my days off and like hang out with my friends and just like sit at the bar. So I could still do that. Or no, yeah. I wasn't even allowed to do that. And I was like, but I'm not drinking. He's like, you're not allowed in here when you're not working. And I was like, oh, it was torture.
Yeah, that's rough.
But it's not like I was fired, but I was suspended. And like the 30 day was a lot. I wonder if it was after you left.
Yeah, it sounds like it. 'Cause I don't remember that. Point is, I don't know. I just am not. I've seen people do it off, like, well, they'll get fired from a job and still show up. And it always is so confusing to me. I'm like, you don't feel uncomfortable?
It was like, so awkward to see her there. Just leave.
I'm like, this is weird. Just go somewhere else. If you have such a poppin' nightlife.
There's also some things where it's like you're not actually allowed back in there.
Yeah.
You know?
It's really weird. Yeah. I thought it was weird. I'm excited for the season that whoop Maddie and her boyfriend. He seems like a piece of work. I'll tell you what. It must be tough to be friends with so many people who aren't sober and then also with your boyfriend who's like not just not sober but has a cheating history as well.
Yeah.
A lot of issues would arise, I think.
Must be real hard. I think it's going to be a good season. It looks like old school VPR, so keep it interesting. What did you think of Beverly Hills? I really want to talk about Miami too.
Okay. Denise Richards saying to Erica, like, you know what you did was giving Lauren Conrad in the Hills. That's all I kept thinking. I was like, she's in the back alley yelling at Spencer and Heidi, you know what you did. And I couldn't stop thinking about that. And then Denise Richards' upside down jacket and the way Dorit was trying to deliver the message was kind of cracking me up. And I never think Dorit's funny, and I don't think she was trying to be funny here at all. But she was like,
why did it make me laugh so much?
I was cracking up, and she's like, no, but your jacket is upside down. And she's like, don't do that. She's like, no, your jacket. Like she was like, but your jacket.
Completely confused.
It's upside down.
I don't understand.
Do that. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. Doing what? Your jacket is upside down. I was just like, oh my God. Oh my God.
What was Denise on? Because I had no idea. No one knows what she's talking about with,
with
Erica Jane. Like, no one knows what she's talking about. Also, side note.
Chill though.
Love that for her. Because she's always been one of my favorites.
Sorry. I feel like Erica should say is, look, I had a bad year last year. I was mean to a lot of people and I apologize. And then they can move on.
Yeah. I was wondering if there was something off camera that was happening because Erica was kind of giving her eyes. Yeah, it was so odd. And then Sutton just like lighting up a joint. Sutton, who on what planet? You hypocrite. You just are a walking. She irks me so bad. She reminds me of
the flags are flagging.
I was saying to a lot of people, the white women on the Upper East Side are like unlike other white women I've ever encountered in my entire life. I actually want to start a comedy sketch just about them. Like we're walking down the street yesterday, and Meek said, "What is that woman doing? She's standing. I swear to God, hand on the Bible in the middle." Of Madison Avenue, just in the middle of Madison Avenue. He's like, what is she doing? And I'm like, she's waiting for a cab. He's like, but she's standing in the middle of the street. I'm like, she's a crazy white woman on the Upper East Side. And that's what they do. They do the craziest things. And this
They're the ladies that are waving you down at the bar.
Oh, and they're the Sutton Strecks of the world that just say, like, I do the ballet. Sorry. I can't watch this. But then
meanwhile, they're on like half a Zanny bar.
Exactly. Every day. Yeah. I can't. The craziest of crazy. She just is such a walking hypocrite. She irks the living hell out of me. I don't even think she's funny. She's so annoying. I could deal without her on my screen. And then to bring up Kyle's sisters. That was such a low blow.
Like a sister to Kyle? Like, I feel like she's inflated that relationship a bit. I mean, I know they're friends, but like.
And it's just such a low, like, don't bring up family stuff, Sutton. You're a grown ass woman in your, what, 50s, 60s. You should know better. That was a scummy thing to do.
Yeah.
Anywho, I really like the Erica Jean.
That we're not totally really touching the tabloid stories, but it is what it is, I guess. I guess we're not. Like, are we not going to talk about them this season? Like, is this going to be a reunion chat or, like, conversation?
Well, you know how they bring the cameras back up at the end of the season. I think that's when we'll see some stuff.
Got it. Because we are clearly not getting to it, I don't think, in the regular season.
The only thing we got to in tabloid was Kyle not wearing a ring that was in the tabloids.
Yeah, but that didn't do it for me.
No, me neither.
I need the women to be bringing it up, like,
yeah.
What are the cheating rumors? Has he cheated on you in the past? Let's talk about it. That's what I want.
Does he have an alleged
child?
Yeah. That was in some alleged. Anyhow. Okay.
Let's get to Miami because I have like 5 minutes. Not even.
Okay. Okay. My thoughts on Miami is that I know why the Kardashians aren't friends with Larsa because she's a
narc.
Crumb bum.
Yeah.
She's a scum. And then to say that
back
she
for next season, I don't think so.
Who cares? And then to say that she did it out of the goodness of her heart to tell, there was not one part of you that wasn't gossiping. Get out of here. Beat
she's
it.
Dumb.
She's so dumb. She like she's actually so dumb. No, I loved Julia's performance. Even though I thought I was going to feel so cringe about it watching Martina.
Yeah.
It was the cutest thing. So
I think
sweet.
Martina had a moment of like, what the fuck is happening? And then was like, wait, actually, this is really sweet.
And I like her a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
They like her they're cute. They seem like they have a normal relationship.
Yeah. I like that.
Lenny's
a monster.
Why? I don't understand why he needs to keep dragging her through the dirt. Like, let it go. What are you trying to prove? And his mom's involved too? Like,
that's so weird.
There's going to be, I'm still excited for the rest.
Bravo husbands. I'll tell you what, most of them are fucking trash. Real trash.
There's a lot. There's a lot coming out about.
It really does make me wonder how many, I would love to know how many women, if really like had to open up or like be just had to be honest, came on this show because they saw like an out of their marriage.
Oh, that's interesting. That's an interesting thought.
It's in the book, Diamonds and Rose or whatever. There's a little bit of conversation about it and how some women have used it as an opportunity to get out of their marriages. And it's like did they get married young to someone who was more successful than them? And then this, I don't know. They see all
that's
these
why
other
you
women
never marry for money. Yeah. Have your own independence, ladies. Yeah. Have your own independence.
So weird.
There's still a lot coming up.
So trashy. There's like, and like a lot of them aren't even attractive.
It's when you marry for money. Most.
Yeah.
Especially then when you find out like this stuff about them that makes them even less and less. There's so, we still have, there's still Salt Lake. There's so many things going on in Bravo. It's taken up my life right now. You have.
Yeah, I only have like 30 seconds, but I guess I'm into it now. Monica seems kind of unhinged, but I guess we'll see what happens there. Whitney was like not annoying me all season, but now she's annoying me again, like with her whole like, I needed you to come up to Lisa. I needed you to come up to me. And Heather says it best. She's like Lisa's a lot of things, but she's not like mother nurture. Like that's like not her vibe.
No, I'm gonna say real quick. Like, my favorite people on the shows that we're talking about. Heather's my favorite on Salt Lake. I know she's unhinged, and I love her.
Redemption season for sure. I like her.
Guys. Yeah, Erica Jane's my favorite on Beverly Hills. Miami. Gertie's going to be my favorite just because of what she's going through.
Dr. Nicole's mine.
Of course. On Southern Charm, it's Craig Conover for the win. Oh. He should be on Housewives next year. And Madison would be a runner-up. And Madison, I always effed with Madison. And my favorite on – what other shows are there? Southern Hospitality.
And Winter House.
Oh, Winter House. Winter House is Katie Flood.
She's my favorite. And Benny's funny.
Oh, yeah, but he's such like a little dumb boy. Like,
yes, that's exactly.
And what's the other
one? Nothing else to say about him except for, yes, that's it.
Southern Hospitality, I don't know them enough to like them.
Fair enough. Yeah, I mean, any of them, I would say. I like TJ, I think, but.
You see, and he's a little pot stirrer for me.
Huh?
He loves to go back and gossip, and like he just stirs the pot. I think he's a little rat, but that's okay. Anyway, I know you're at time. It's about my nap time because I feel like I'm about to pass out from the bronchial.
Well, we did it. We got here. Inflammation.
We did. Sorry for being late. We'll be back next week with an all new episode. We'll be taking some time off for the holidays. I'm telling you that now, Jen. And see y'all next week. Thank you for bonding with us. Bye, friends.
Okay, bye. I'm going to run.